Psalm chapter 25. When you get there, would you say amen? All right, that's most of you. So Psalm 25, and we'll get to there here in just a moment. But what we want to do tonight is continue our study in emotionally healthy discipleship. You'll notice there that we're still on mark number 4, and that's discovering the treasures buried in grief and loss. No doubt that many are experiencing difficult times right now. I think of all age groups. I think everyone from the youngest teenager here to the oldest senior saint here tonight. Somebody's going through a difficult time. And we just appreciate the fact that God gives us a plan. He gives us an approach, and He gives us the power to be able to go through these times of trials, because He's got something very special in each of them, treasures that He has there stored for us. Notice that verse we started out with last week, Psalm 119:71. It says, "It is good for me that I have been," what, church? "Afflicted." That means to be oppressed, to be humbled, to be low, to be bowed down. It says that I might learn thy statutes. That was the psalmist's prayer and testimony. He said that I have gone through some difficult times. Now, why do we fail to grow during times of affliction? Well, there are two primary reasons. Look there on your sheet. The first one is what? Our resistance to losing control. I don't think anybody here likes losing control. That's one of the worst feelings that we can have in life, is to lose control. And it happens, though. It happens. There are things in your life that are that you feel like are out of control right now. You've tried to change them. You've tried to get your hands on them. You've tried to manipulate it. You tried to do everything you can, but for some reason, it's not changing. I'm not saying we can't have control over some things, because we can. God gives that clearly. But what I'm talking about is there's some things that come up in life where we have to realize, I don't have control. God, this is in your hands. And it's a very healthy place to be, because we admit at that point that we are not sovereign, that we are limited. We're not like God. You see, our mom and dad in the garden, original dad and mom there, Adam and Eve, they got to the point where they did not want to be limited. They wanted to be unlimited. Well, folks, we're not unlimited. Praise God. The only thing we are unlimited with is the fact that our sins are forever given. Amen? There's no limit to God's forgiveness because it does come to those that believe the gospel. But as we go through life, we don't like losing control. I pointed out there our society, our culture places a high value on the continued ascent through life, basically having control and always climbing in the sense of never facing tough times. But grief and loss require surrender and descent. In other words, there's that idea of being afflicted. The Lord preserveth the simple. He says, I was brought low and He helped me. Now, when we get to low spots in our life, difficulties, I want to tell you that's sometimes where where we will experience the grace of God the most. That's why we say we can find treasures in times of grief and loss. Why? Because it's sometimes at those very times where we feel the nearest to God. And so as we think about that tonight, notice letter B there, our resistance to losing control. The culture has trained us well to just pay attention only to success, but not to loss and pain. And so what the culture ends up doing is that instead of facing or embracing loss and grief, we deal with it with coping strategies. What is that? Well, some deal with it with work. There is a such thing as workaholics, where they work too much. It may be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be movies. It could be shopping, gambling, food, busyness. Whatever the case may be, anything we can do except facing painful reality. And I don't believe it was an accident that the young people came into our service tonight. Because we have people, young people that are facing things that we never thought we could face or that would be faced in their lives. And there, in their hearts and minds, they're seeking, how do I deal with this? How do I cope with this situation in my life where I feel like I'm being drowned or covered up with just a difficult time? And what we need to realize is God has given us a way of escape that's not the way of the world. But He will meet us in those low spots. He's there. And I'm thankful you're here tonight because we're looking to His Word tonight. You're not looking to me for hope. I'm not looking for you to hope. We are looking together to the Lord God Almighty. He's the one that's going to give us hope. But notice number two, the other reason that we fail to grow during times of affliction is, notice number two, faulty theology that interprets losses as interruptions. Now that's where we can get into a spot where, look, when bad things happen in our life, I'm just going to use a silly illustration here because it's something that's bound to happen. It's something that's bound to happen to all of us, especially you teens. You'll start driving soon, and some of you already are driving. But those that have a vehicle, you're going to be riding down the road one day, and you're going to hear a loud noise. And that loud noise may just be the sound of a tire blowing out, or either the sound of a tire that has gone flat. And you start hearing this obnoxious loud bumping noise. It's going in your car, like, oh no, man, this is terrible, man. This is, man, what in the world? Inconvenient time. You're already running a few minutes late. Things are going on, whatever the case may be. All right, so you pull over, you get out. He's like, yep, exactly what you thought. And you're thinking, man, this is terrible. This is a total interruption. This is going bad. Why has this happened to me? This is crazy. Well, lo and behold, there's somebody that pulls over behind you. You have no idea who this is. It's a stranger. They walk up to the vehicle, and you get to talking to them. You're a believer, you know, okay? This person's not. So it ended up this person is just a stranger, and they offer help, and they start giving you that assistance, and man, that you're so thankful. And by the end of the time of them helping you get it said, you've already been able to engage in some conversation, and you realize that this is a divine appointment. And at that very time, you start talking about your own testimony of knowing the Lord, and this person starts opening up, saying, well, I'm telling you, I'm going through one of the darkest times of my life. And I, whether perhaps just went through a divorce, or perhaps just lost my job, or perhaps I'm trying to get off of drugs or whatever. It's just, it could be anything. I could name 100 things, but you realize at that moment, man, God's put this in my life for me to try to be an encouragement, to be a blessing. But you see, there are things like that happen all the time. Always remember, when you go through a difficult time in life, any time of grief or loss, never look at it as an inconvenience or an interruption. Because there are no parentheses in the plan of God. God's plan includes grief. It includes loss, because that's where our hearts are connected and drawn to our Maker, to lean upon Him. And it's when we resist that, and when we say, no, I don't like this feeling of being out of control. I don't like this feeling of loss. And we respond with rebellion towards God, and it ends up getting worse. But when we respond saying, God, obviously, I can't control this. I'm looking to You. I'm resting in You. I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to depend on you. Notice what Paul Tripp said. I love this. He says, it is important to remember, this is under number two, it is important to remember that at the center of a biblical worldview is this radical recognition. Notice this. The most horrible thing that ever happened on this earth, or ever in the ages, that's the crucifixion of Christ, was the most wonderful thing that has ever happened. The worst thing that has ever happened was also the best thing that ever happened. Notice as a follow-up, letter B, the seemingly hopeless moment of death was at the same time a moment of life when eternal hope was given. Notice, so be careful how you make sense of your life. What looks like a disaster may in fact be grace. What looks like the end may be the beginning. And I just believe as a biblical worldview as believers tonight, no matter how bad it gets and no matter even if it's on you, sometimes we bring on pain because of our own dumb decisions. I believe I can admit I've been there, you've been there, but even with that, we serve a God who is in control and will help us through those things. And we can be encouraged by that. Will you turn over your paper and just glance there with me? I want to see God's three phases of processing grief and loss. We looked at the first one last week, and that's just simply pay attention to it. We can try to deny it. We can try to ignore it. We can try to have these coping mechanisms that at least numb the pain. Some things can numb the pain. Let's all agree with that. We can numb it, but hey, it's going to be there the next morning. We're going to wake up with it. The goal in the Christian life is not to numb pain. It is to embrace it with the grace of God. It is to say, God, I need you. I can't do this. It's like Paul cried out and said, Lord, you got to take this thorn from my flesh. I can't take this anymore. And it's saying, God, please. And the Lord ministered to him in that time and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. We got to pay attention to it, recognize it that it's there, and ask. Remember that what I gave you last week with the iceberg. I don't have it here with me. You may have your handout, but I gave you the picture of the iceberg, and we need to ask, why am I mad? Why am I angry? Why am I bitter? Why am I irritated? There's questions. When we ask those questions, we can get to the core of what's going on in our life. Why am I happy? Ask questions like that. And then that will show that, of course, that will tell why what's on top of the surface. But it's those things that are going in internally that we got to deal with. And that's what our whole focus on this study has been. Lord, help us to get deeper in our Christianity. We're so superficial. We so many times, like, we walk around, especially at church, like we got it all together, and like we don't. Many people here tonight are grieving. In a group this small, no doubt, somebody's grieving tonight. Somebody in the church is always grieving. It may be you tonight. It may have been you last week or last month. It may be you next month, next week. But let's go ahead and guarantee this. There's always going to be somebody in this congregation that is grieving. And we have to realize that this is a part of discipleship, that we don't need to try to ignore it. We don't need to try to escape it. We need to try to go through it with the Lord's blessing and help. But number two, one of the hardest times of grief and loss is the waiting period. It's that confusing in-between time. And that brings us to our verse. Would you look there at Psalm 25? It says there, notice verse 5. Psalm 25, verse 25, chapter 25, verse 5 says, lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Let's say that last part of that verse together. On thee do I wait all the day. Notice with me over in verse number 21, same chapter, 25:21. He says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Go over to chapter 27. Just flip maybe one page over. Chapter 27, verse 14. Notice what Psalm 27:14 says. Let's say the first four together. Wait, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hey, I want to tell you tonight, I think we all agree, we can be some of the most impatient people ever. I mean, we want it done. We wanted it done yesterday. You're taking way too long for this. I can't take this. It's taken way too long. And what if we're not careful? This is what happens. This is scary to me personally because it happens without us even realizing. It's like, wow, man, my culture has a lot more influence on me than I realize. But our culture has almost molded us into being hurried people. We're in a hurry. All's in a hurry. That's not from God. And it's like, God help us. What are we doing? But what we do is we get programmed by the culture to be that way, and then it just starts coming out in our Christianity, even in our spirit. Things aren't happening quick enough. God, you're not. Where are you at right now? You know, we almost treat God like he's our little genie in a bottle. And it just, there's a time that God's saying, well, wait a minute, I'm sovereign. I'm in control. I've allowed this to come into your life. And I'm doing a deep work in your life. Notice, go over a couple chapters to Psalm 37. There's so many more we could look at tonight, honestly, but for the sake of time. Notice, chapter 37, verse 7. It says here, rest in the Lord. Wow. I love that idea of rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. There's that idea of trusting the Lord and not worrying about somebody else that seems to be prospering even in an evil way, but rest in him. Notice, I want to look at one more tonight, Psalm 130. So you'll flip towards the end of the book there. Psalm chapter 130. Psalm 130, verse number 5. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. If you notice verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. This was somebody that God had been working in and was seeking the Lord and waiting upon Him. Notice just several of these points here. Loss and grief force us to stop, to wait, and here's one we don't like, to change plans. When's the last time you just had to change your plans? How'd that work out for you? We don't normally respond well to that, do we? But when grief and loss come in, it forces us to. And we realize that it forces us to stop and wait. And let's just say it like this. I guess this is the way I could put it, at least what I've experienced. Grief and loss has a supernatural way of just slowing everything down. It just slows life down. And it's like it's almost like God uses it to just bring everything in perspective. That's really what matters most in life. It's sobering. And it's only something God can do. And He does that to help us to grow deeper in our walk with Him. Instead of, again, what the culture is trying to get us to do, only be comfortable, only increase, all about productivity, all about no failure, no none of this, no, let's just focus on getting to the top and being the best and the most, and boy, we get caught up in that. And so as it says here, this can be very difficult when in a culture that esteems busyness, productivity, and predictability. We're all about predictability. examples in Scripture of those that waited are, remember Noah? Noah had to wait a few years, did he not? To see the will of God fulfilled. He preached over 100 years and building the ark, and he waited on the Lord. Abraham, what about Abraham and Sarah? Here they are up in their 90s, and God's going to do a supernatural work, and they're going to be able to have a child together. They waited on the Lord. Now, did they wait perfectly? No. I don't think any of us would have. But nevertheless, God did, they did have the faith, because we see it in the book of Hebrews that God showed us that they did. In the book of Romans, chapter 4, he staggered not at the promises of God. I think about Joseph. Joseph spent most of his life as a slave and as a prisoner before he would be promoted. What about Moses? He had to go to the backside of the desert for 40 years. What about Hannah? All the years she had to wait for a child. I think about Elizabeth, who up in her older years, God came to her and she's in her 80s. And God's like, oh, by the way, you and your husband, you're going to have a child. Her husband brought her that message. Zechariah, honey, we're going to have a child. They waited a long time. I think about Job. Most of his trial, he had no idea what was going on. I think about the apostles. They were so puzzled at so many times of waiting on what the Lord was doing. And they weren't perfect at it, but God used those times to draw them near. Remember toward the end, Jesus had died on the cross and they were all just stricken with just dismay and discouragement. What in the world? Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were talking to the Lord. And it was just discouragement there. We thought he was coming. We thought he was going to set up the kingdom. And then we see the Lord spoke to them, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us? I think upon the fact that from the time of the ascension, even to the time of Pentecost, they were waiting. Waiting on the Lord. It's easy to become discouraged and disoriented in seasons of waiting. And what happens is there is an emptying of self. God uses those times of waiting to do a purifying work, to do an emptying of the stuff that's not good. Y'all know Brother Thomas Engle. Most of you remember Brother Thomas, who was an evangelist, who he's now assistant pastor in Darlington, South Carolina. By the way, any of y'all like NASCAR, you should go down there and visit Brother Thomas. And he lives like, his church is like a quarter of a mile or half a mile from the track. But he's there pastoring. Well, I don't know if y'all heard this or not. He's been there only just since January, and just last month, maybe 6 weeks ago, he got his first trial as a pastor. And it didn't even happen in the church, thankfully. It happened in the neighborhood he was in. Somebody stole his truck. That big white diesel dually he had sitting in his car, and I guess he had an extra key or something in the dash or whatnot, but nice. But he woke up. It happened on a Saturday night. And he didn't know it until he walked out to go to church with his suit and everything, his Bible. Can you imagine Brother Thomas walking out the door, going down the steps and looking up? He told me, Brent, the first thing I asked, did Sarah go to Walmart? He's like, no, she's inside. My truck's gone. And then he called, of course, called 911, and sure enough, his truck was stolen. Well, thankfully, I think it was the next day or the day after they found it. I can't remember if it was some abandoned building parking lot had there, and they were maybe good thieves, but here's the problem: it was a good thief, but it was a dumb mechanic, because in this diesel truck, you can go ahead and guess what they put in it. They put gas, and it didn't last very long until it broke down on them. And so it was a kind of an expensive fix. But what they had to do is he took it to the Ford dealership and had all the work done to it. They had to clean that out and get it to where it would be functioning like it's supposed to. And last I heard, he said it's doing pretty good. But he told me that story. But I tell you that to say this: in order to get that truck to where it needed to be functioning right again, there had to be an emptying of that bad stuff. And a lot of times when we go through trials and we don't even understand it, sometimes it's so mysterious and we're like this, God, really? Really, God? This? Now? I don't understand this. And where we have to do at that time is we have to say, we don't need to get impatient. We need to say, by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust that You're in control. I'm not, You are. And I'm going to rest in You. You see, our spiritual growth comes through uncomfortable and even painful times of waiting when we have no control. And the only way to endure through dark seasons is through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to take you there tonight, but we see that in Romans. You can look at it yourself in chapter 5 and chapter 15. These seasons of waiting could be called God is beneath the surface work in my life. Hey, when life puts a bear hug on you, what comes out? Because life does. It'll squeeze us at times. And we gotta, and God will reveal of what's really in us. And if it's bad stuff, it's gonna come out and it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be cleansed of, and we need to be renewed so that way when God does bring those squeezing trials in our life, we need to let the grace of God flow. These seasons of waiting could be called God working beneath the surface of my life. There are some beautiful treasures to discover in times of waiting. Let me draw your attention. I'll read this verse and we'll close in prayer. Would you go over to the book of Isaiah? If you just keep going to the right there, you're in Psalms. You find Jeremiah. You've gone too far if you go to Jeremiah. Just go back one to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3. Notice here as he's speaking of Cyrus, who God raised up specifically to free the children of Israel from that when they were in Babylonian captivity. But he says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Notice verse 2, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And verse 3, and I will give thee, notice this next phrase, the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Treasures of darkness. Hidden riches of secret places. See, there are times in our life as Christians that when we are waiting and when we are grieving, and when there is loss, there are times there where we will find God that we otherwise would not find God and to know Him. And I would say that, and I could be off on this, and I hope no one interprets this the wrong way, but I do believe that the majority of our Christian life is recovering and being even renewed and revived from losses.
We experience losses every day in some way. It may be something weird, okay? Something really minute, and maybe somebody just irritating you, or that could be a scale from 1 to 10. That could be like a 1, but then sometimes in life there's a 10. I get it. There's a wide spectrum there. But life is full of losses, inconveniences, grievances that we deal with, and we grow through them. God does a deep work. And us resting in Him instead of getting impatient and getting selfish and getting rebellious, we embrace and say, God, I need You. I'm not in control. This red light, that this backed up traffic, this wreck on the highway, I'm going to be late for the meeting. We do all those things, okay? All that stuff. But instead of just saying, God, I'm not in control. Yes, you say, well, maybe you could have left at the house an hour earlier. Of course you could, but you see my point. There are all kinds of things in life where we just get to the point in deep discipleship is we say, Lord, I don't understand all this, but there's a reason this loss is taking place. There's a reason, this grieving, you're doing a work in me. And I pray that you would. Don't run from the losses and grievances. Don't shun them. Don't miss the treasure that God has for us buried in griefs, in times of grieving, in times of loss. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for the work of Your Spirit in our lives and helping us even gain victory, Lord, over the sin of impatience and the sin of selfishness. I just thank You for victory. And I just pray that You'd help us, Lord, to learn that for that in-between times where we're having to wait on the Lord. God, please protect me from being so impatient and just taking matters into my own hands. I know there's a part You have for me, Lord, but I just don't want to try to be sovereign. I don't want to try to break through the limits that You've placed on my life. And I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want that to be a part of me. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here tonight. I pray that we would understand that You do the things that You do for a reason and that You're doing a deep work. And Lord, we just want to say that we love You and that we trust You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.